Hey, I'm Adam Carolla, and that's my buddy.
I'm Ray Oldhofer.
That's Ray Oldhofer. And you like what you hear? Do you enjoy the show?
Yeah, I do.
Many do. And we have a little pirate ship here, and the way it works is you share it with a friend. So if you like this show, turn a buddy onto it. Turn a schoolmate, turn a coworker, and or lover onto the show, and thank you in advance.
Look, the worst part about business travel is worrying about my wife and kids at home alone. My family's safety is my responsibility. That's why I started researching home security. I called the big alarm companies, checked online, even looked at doing it myself. But the best technology for the best price came from Vivint. They even won the Consumer's Digest Best Buy Award. Yes, Vivint gives me a complete security system, but it does even more. Vivint's video technology is unreal. I can see what's going on in my home right from my smartphone, tablet, or computer. I can even lock the doors remotely if my kids forget. Best yet, I got Vivint's no equipment costs and free install deal. $1,300 worth of camera and security equipment at no charge. Vivint was the easy choice for my family's safety.
Take control of your family's safety with Vivint. Order now for up to $1,300 in security equipment at no charge. Just pay as little as $99 for activation. Plus, call now and installation is free. Call 1-800-405-8353. That's 1-800-405-8353. 1-800-405-8353.
Hey everyone, it's me, Allison, from Allison Rosen is your new best friend. On Thursday, Gary and Chris got along better than ever.
It's like I stopped in the middle lane.
No, but there could have been someone coming down the right-hand
lane. I'm aware of my surroundings. I can know if I can make that turn or not.
But the person behind you is not expecting a turn from the middle lane.
It affects their commute in no way if I turn right in front of them.
What if they weren't paying attention? They had to slam on their brakes and you caused a fender bender.
That's their fault. Ooh, I get money. Sweet.
Was there someone behind you?
Yeah. No.
Yes, there was. It was La Brea at 6:55 on a weeknight.
That just happened.
And then on Monday, I sat down with Michael Showalter from The State, Wet Hot American Summer, and a ton of others, and he told this story.
So every time we had a meeting with James Dixon, it was us, it was 11 people and James Dixon. And we would always be in the conference room, and we would be talking about some project or another, and we were talking about something, and I was asking questions, you know, wanting to get specification on one thing or another. And he said, hey, this is show business, not Showalter, okay?
Subscribe to Allison Rosen as your new best friend on iTunes or go to AllisonRosen.com. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. I love you.
Allison's your new best friend.
This is Corolla Digital.
Taking calls, home improvement tips, straight from the ace man's lips to those in need. They cover it all, A to Z, roof to basement and in between. Ray's on the ladder and Ace got the hammer. Fixing your trouble with hilarious banter. So send your emails to the Postal and Punisher with his old buddy Ray. It's Ace on the House.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. And welcome to the program. Ace on the House. My dad calls it Ace on the Roof. That's Ray Oldhofer over there.
Hi there.
Steve Sfrino.
Morning.
Pretty good, right? He works for, he basically is Habitat for Humanity, Hollywood for Habitat for Humanity. They're doing a build-a-thon. They got an event coming up November 6th through the 9th in Linwood, California. Finally, they moved out of Bel Air.
Linwood's right next to Compton, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I've been there.
I think it's where I end
once.
Up. It's where you end up. It's when they close down the 110 and you're driving down the 10 and they don't tell you the ramp's closed and then you end up
on the 105
in Linwood. Yeah. Building 7 new affordable homes, painting, landscaping, beautifying the neighborhood. So how does one do this? Like I've done a little volunteer work for Habitat for Humanity back in the day, mostly just a radio stunt. My heart wasn't in it, but I still was there swinging a hammer. How does it work? Like, I feel like Ray, despite his color and his genitalia and his lack of children, he could qualify quite easily for one of these low-income homes. How does one qualify?
Oh, I thought I was going to volunteer.
No, you're getting
a
house.
I want to volunteer. I want to help out.
Give Whitey a house.
I don't want to live in Linwood.
Why not?
With a what bunch mean, why not?
Listen, first off, you could segregate the neighborhood, number one. Number two, we get more people like you in there, owners.
Wow.
We the Habitat for Humanity comes in there. They build some nice homes. Next thing you know, we got some pride of ownership and some curb appeal. Right, Steve?
Absolutely. But what our mission is to revitalize neighborhoods one home at a time by putting in hardworking low-income families into the homes that we build. And to qualify, to answer your question on that, they need to have good credit. They need to have established income.
That's enough.
All right, I'm already out. Look at that.
Sorry, right?
Fuck it. Done.
Next.
Got any tents?
I'll take one. You have to have good credit.
They have to have good credit. They have to have qualified income, verifiable income, and they have to have a need. They have to demonstrate a need. And basically that need is through our qualifying. We take a look at their present living conditions, you know, all things given and equal. We look at the need.
I poop in a bucket.
Well, that's not going to qualify you, right? Sorry.
Just saying needs, you know what I mean?
Give us an example of – and how many applicants do you get? Approximately.
It varies. Houses. You know, we put it out there to the communities, and we let everybody know that it's an ongoing application process. And as the houses come available, we give a family one opportunity to say, no, I'm not interested in that one, and we'll give them another. But it's not like a choice that you have a choice of whatever houses that we're building.
But I would imagine you'd have a large amount of people
absolutely
that were trying to get these homes.
Absolutely. And then we have a committee that's involved, and then we take all the qualified applicants and we review them based on need, and we actually go out and take a look at their present living conditions. For example, we had a family a few years ago that they had a boy, a paraplegic child that was in a wheelchair, and where they were renting, the landlord wouldn't let them put the wheelchair in the house. And they used to have to carry him out of the wheelchair. And obviously that demonstrates a need to us. And that was a family that came in. They work hard. While we're building the house, the family that's going to move into the house has to work 500 hours of sweat equity right alongside of us.
I like that.
Yes.
Yeah. So you got to dig. Start with the foundation.
Exactly.
Get a pick. Exactly. Get a shovel.
Well, now, wait a minute. Some of the places are not complete teardowns, right? I mean,
some
of them are.
We do multiple facets of work. We build new construction, we do renovatings, and we also do home repairs. So our three types of building, and then applicants apply for that. On the home repair side, it's an existing owner, an income-qualified owner, usually elderly, but they're in their home, they own their home, but they don't have the means to upkeep it. So we come in with our home repair program, and we'll go in, and we like to address code violations and safety issues first. And then we'll go in and look at it. You know, a lot of times we'll go visit a family and they'll say, well, I'd like my house painted. And I, you know, our team looks at it and we say, well, if we don't fix the roof, it doesn't matter if you paint the house.
Right.
You know, we got to take care of the
new windows
that,
and such.
Exactly.
All that kind of
exactly.
How many homes do you reckon you guys have done over the past, I don't know, I guess 20 plus years now?
Well, our affiliate in Greater Los Angeles, we've over 600 families that we've touched.
They're all living in the same house.
No, in
one Hispanic family, they're all living.
Yeah.
The same
by the
place,
way, the
so
sweat
really
equity.
Don't brag, Steve.
The sweat equity. Does a family ever say like, "Hey, can I use my Mexicans?" You know, to take up the
no,
time?
No, they can use relatives.
500 hours is a lot.
They can use some relatives. It is obviously Ray. You know, and if they're working a 40-hour week and to find that time to put in that 500 hours, that could take them some time. So they can use family members, immediate family members, and oftentimes our volunteers are able to donate. I believe it's up to 40% of their hours to it.
Okay.
So we have a core of regular volunteers that come out, you know, a couple of times a week and want to work with us all the time, and they can donate some of their hours to the family.
Because I have a Mario and Francisco will donate for me.
I smell a George Lopez vehicle coming up. There's a movie here. There's a movie here. You know what I mean? He's the ne'er-do-well cousin who's planted on the sofa, hard-working Hispanic immigrant family, needs to get the 500 hours. The father's working a lot of overtime. He's got to be – falls in love with beautiful contractor. You know what I mean? Ends up learning a lesson at the end.
That's beautiful. I'm
good.
Getting a tear.
Get Lopez's
wow.
people on the blower. I got a vehicle for him.
Cameo by Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
JC makes a cameo, Ooh, JC. Never thought about those initials.
Hmm.
So you've done 600 families just here in Los Angeles, nationwide, and maybe starting to get into worldwide, I'm guessing. They've done thousands of homes. It's a, quite a legacy.
More than 600,000 worldwide since the conception of Habitat for Humanity.
And has it been 30 years, 25
It's about
years?
30 years, 1984.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Quite a concept. And as far as the homes, now, there's some homes you have to procure, right?
I mean,
you need to buy the property, buy the old home, whatever it is. There's a lot of, I'm guessing, low-income, whatever, deals you can get from the city and stuff like that, right? Incentives. Right.
We've just completed a program on the Neighborhood Stabilization Initiative that was HUD-originated. And over the last 3 years, we acquired over 100 foreclosed homes, vacant and foreclosed homes, in the cities of Lynnwood, Southgate, and Long Beach, and renovated them and put over 100 families into those homes.
You know what drives me nuts? I've complained about it many times. And, you know, we have all these attempts, public service announcements in the city, and trying to get people to do the right thing. It's usually something around driving, either texting, drinking, going too fast, whatever it is, something driving, usually a second, third-hand smoke, or inexplicably the water safety thing. That, there's a bunch of ones you hear where you go, don't empty your boat's sewage tank into the bay. And I'm thinking, what percentage of people right now with ears on this radio spot own a vessel? And then what percentage of them dump their tanks, their sewage tanks, into the bay? Because that's who we're dealing
with. It's
got to
be pretty high.
Yeah, figure maybe 40% or zero. What the fuck are we doing? But here's a PSA I'd like. How about you clean up your own fucking front yard? Doesn't cost you shit. People do this thing all the time where they're like, well, these are low-income people. Who gives a fuck? Go clean your front yard. You see, have some goddamn pride. Put a coat of primer on the front of your house. That doesn't cost anything. Go down to Home Depot, $12, bucket of primer. Go pick some weeds out of your front lawn. Get that goddamn sofa off your front lawn. Improve your front lawn and the whole neighborhood will improve. Improve your curb appeal. The whole neighborhood will be improved. How come there's never a discussion about that? And there's this bullshit where it's like, well, these guys are poor. All right, they're poor, so go fucking mow your lawn. Push the thing. Pick your weeds. Well, they work hard jobs. Good, that's what the weekends are for. You ever see those Home Depot commercials? Saturday, front lawn. Not sofa with a beer. Front lawn, can
primer. And then sofa with a beer.
Yeah, paint your primer, douchebag. What's up? How come we don't talk about this? How come it's never discussed? Where's the PSAs?
Well, we're looking to change that with a program that we have that's called RAKE, and that stands for Random Acts of Kindness for Everyone. And during this build-a-thon that we're going to have in Lynnwood on November 6th to 9th, we're going to be looking to beautify an entire block. The block that we're building our seven homes on, the entire block from one end of the street to the other, we're touching as many homes as we can there, whether it's fixing their mailbox, putting a little bit of paint on their fence, or putting a motion-sensored light on. And then there are other qualified homeowners that are in our program that are going to get the full repair on their house. So not only are we building seven homes on this street, we're going to beautify the entire block, and hopefully that becomes a stimulus for everyone to then get out there and take
Step
care
it
of
up.
This.
Right.
Exactly.
I have a program called RAPE. It's called RAPE. Right. You put on the primer or you get the GIMP. That's it. Now get your shit together. We ask so little of everybody. That's, again, putting primer on fascia. It's the material is nothing. Your front yard is nothing in terms of materials. There's no cost. It's just a little sweat. It's just a little weekend action. Just a little you and your buddy move that decrepit sofa out of there. It's simple. It's easy. But, yeah, it spreads. When your neighbor does it, the neighbor to the right does it, the neighbor to the left does it, then all of a sudden you stick out. Your front yard looks like shit. You get shamed a little bit. And now you got to step it up. That's all. Super easy.
Have you ever, Steve, have you ever given a house to somebody you, like, regretted it? Like, that was just a douche.
You know, obviously, it turns out that
what percentage?
We're very, very fortunate that of the 600 homes that we've built, we have about a 1% foreclosure ratio. So mm-hmm. because the home is made affordable to the family and the sweat equity component of it, really don't have any ever have a regret. To me, the best day of my work life is when we hand the keys over to a home to a family and I see the impact that that's going to have on them. I often say that it affects multiple generations, and typically it's three generations because it's a parent that's going to be living with them and it's the children. And what we see what happens with the children is when these kids – they have their own room to do their homework in and study. The statistics are phenomenal.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And they have to, you know, Ray, you said give people a home. I think there's a misnomer where, you know, they buy a house, they fix it up, and then Ed McMahon shows up with some balloons and they give someone a home. They don't give them the home. They have to qualify for it. And then they have to make payments on it. And I believe.
And the sweat equity.
And the sweat equity. And look, the sweat equity is great psychologically, and I wish more people in this country would understand this concept, which is the woman who's working as the legal secretary doesn't know how to do shear wall or do any roof rafter framing or anything. She doesn't know any of that stuff. She's just going to wander around the job site getting in the way most of the time. But we need her invested in this. She needs to feel like this is her thing. Which is something we don't understand. If you statistically said, look, the way Habitat for Humanity works, which is 500 hours of sweat equity, then you take over a mortgage payment. It's not $5,000 a month. It's something you can manage. We help out, but you pay for your home. You go and look at that home in 10 years, see what's happened, see how it's been kept up. I guarantee if they were just in the business of handing out homes, you come back in 10 years, they'd be right back where they were.
Exactly. Yeah. We like to refer to it as a hand up, not a handout.
Right. Like so how many volunteers can you normally?
Typically on a typical build site, we like to have about 25 is a good number for our crew to handle. Each one of our sites is managed by an exceptionally skilled group of staff that we have. We have a site supervisor and a crew leader with them. And what they do is they plan the work out. And just to what you were saying about the office secretary, it's amazing how we can empower people to do things that they never thought were possible. You know, on putting up shear wall or something like that, hanging drywall, they think, oh, I've never done that. And it's a few minutes of teaching, and everybody is very willing to do it. And I think they go away with a great sense of pride after volunteering.
And how's the city work? Do they not bug the shit out of you like they do everyone else?
No, they treat us pretty equal, Adam. You know, it's no preferential treatment.
Oh, boy.
But
that's trouble.
So it takes you 5 years to build a house?
Not really. I think I like to pride myself on trying to find ways to get through the red tape and just saying, you know, if persistence is the key a lot of times.
Yeah, but boy, did you pick a horrible city to try to build in.
Well, it's not the only city we build in. We build in.
I know. We're
in 51 cities.
You go to New Orleans,
Los Angeles,
you just
County.
Build. You just build.
Exactly.
You come here. Right.
Texas, too.
Not so fast.
Yeah.
Not so fast, hot shot with a hammer. Yeah. No, I know. L.A.'s smart. They like to punish people who build in their cities. It's great. Keep going, L.A. Smart. See how many productions you can run out of your city. Smart. All right. So have you ever met Jimmy Carter?
I had the pleasure just last week of being up in Oakland and San Jose earlier this month, and they had their annual Jimmy and Rosalind Carter work project up there, and I did have the pleasure to meet him. I shook his hand, and it's great to see his commitment to this. You know, Jimmy Carter, as a lot of people think, is not the founder of Habitat for Humanity.
Ooh. Damn him!
He is just the most famous volunteer. And the recognition that he gives to our organization is phenomenal. And for the past 30 years, he's been putting on an annual Carter Build project for a week of each
just
year.
Just taking credit.
Yeah.
That's more like
no.
it. Now, wait a minute. Habitat for Humanity was around for 10 years before Jimmy Carter.
Approximately.
Got involved. And then he sort of lent his name to it and got involved with it.
Right.
He would do the PSAs, I remember, when we were kids. Mm-hmm. Like he'd be out there framing and everything.
Yeah. And now people
at 90 years old, he still does.
Assume it's his.
That is awesome.
It's his baby, but really he just got on.
Right.
Got on early. Who is the name of the guy we should pay homage to?
Millard Fuller was the founder of the organization. He has since passed, and Jonathan Reckford is now our chairman and chief executive officer.
He's now moved on to the great two-bedroom, one-bath in the sky.
Simple, decent, and affordable.
Two-bedroom, one-and-a-half-bath in the sky.
Mr. Millet?
1,400 square feet.
By the way, great name, yeah. Millet. What?
Millard.
Miller?
Erd.
Millard.
Millard.
That's an old name.
Millard. Yeah, yes. I like that name.
Yeah.
Name my first child, Millard.
Your first child's going to be older than you if you don't get going right. Let's go, Ray. All right, where were we? We got Steve, you claim to know how to build, right?
A little bit. A little bit.
Have you met my douchey friend Adam? God.
All right. Listen, I've been hurried lately. You know?
You
running
think?
Around.
Mm-hmm. How's it going?
You know, I'm doing a show where I'm catching contractors, pain in the ass, you know, around Dana Point. It took me 3 hours to get back here the other day.
So you're on the road longer than you're shooting.
Yeah, I said, look, I can't shoot out of town. They're like, good, we'll stay in town. Then they send me to Dana Point. I said,
do they know Dana Point's not in town?
I said, why don't we go to Denver? I could fly out of Burbank and fucking shoot in Denver all day. It'd be faster.
It would be.
It took me 2 hours to get to Dana Point. Because your call time at Dana Point's 8:30 in the morning, and then they cut you loose at 4:30.
Thanks.
What the hell are you going to do? No, you know what I do? I work on my book. I got a book to work on, so I literally talk on my phone for 3 hours. It's now L.A.'s just become – we're just going to have to get to a point where there's just going to have to be a drive-through assistant like fast food where you're just going to drive through, pick up an assistant, and you're going to sit there and like roll phone calls, and they're going to take notes and dictation stuff while you're stuck in traffic. There's only
– You have that.
The only thing you can do in L.A. because the traffic is so horrific and because the good folks who run the city have done nothing to alleviate this problem, so it's just gotten worse, is, like I said, just write a book while you're spending your 3 hours on the 5 staring at brake lights from Dana Point back to Glendale. Just sat on the phone with it's crazy technology. I'm talking to Mike Lynch, who's in Lowell, Massachusetts, and we're writing the book. That's it. And then, by the way, I didn't feel bad. And then, because I had to write the book anyway, but I did look around at everyone else who was sitting in the parking lot with me called the 5, and wondering what book they were working on.
I just learned to speak another. I'd get the
Berlitz,
yeah, or whatever. No, what's the other one? Rosetta Stone. Learn Spanish.
Yeah.
Hola, qué tal? Bien,
right.
Too.
Right. So
me namore mundo.
Yes, yeah, so you can yell at the guy. Who, when you finally get to it, you realize the flatbed with the pallets on top it overturned. Yell something out the
you
window
can yell at
him for ruining your commute. All right, let's see. We got some
Pinche Way.
There you go. We got some questions here coming from. We got a video question.
Yes, we certainly do. And for listeners out there, please send us your video questions. AceOnTheHouse@AdamCarolla.com. And we got a video question here from Blake in Kansas City.
Hi, guys. My name is Blake. I own my home. It's a 1970 home, pretty old, and you can see this is probably original. Anyway, dilemma. My husband and I are trying to replace the faucet and trying to keep as much as we can untouched. I'd like to keep the cast iron sink that's in good shape. I can clean it up. Really just replace the hardware here. Mm-hmm. We are stuck trying to remove the flange and this. Stopper, I guess.
Yeah,
cut it
this
out.
This thing is just fused in there. Mm. So when we go under and we removed everything,
going under
I don't know
sink,
if you can see that nifty little pipe
it
right there.
Becomes one cast iron pipe, galvanized steel nipple.
This thing is just
cast
stuck.
Iron sink.
Yeah,
we've soaked it in the.
All right, put on pause for a second. Let me tell you something about things that are stuck: nuts, bolts, flanges, things like that. Soaking them in WD-40 is fine. Banging on them always is the best. It's just tap, 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 tap. It's amazing what comes loose from a persistent just tap, 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 tap. You just keep banging away on it. You'd be amazed at how stuff breaks loose when you just keep tapping on it. She's got a cast iron sink. She has a faucet that they must have sold 500 billion of those units between 1961 and 1975. Every crappy apartment I've ever lived in, every crappy hotel I've ever stayed. You know that super cheap stamped out?
It's called a closed spread.
Yeah, but the exact same unit. That unit in 1972 was all Home Depot or Ole's or whatever the hell they had back in the day. It's all
Builders Emporium.
Builders Emporium. It's all they ever had. So a couple things. They want to replace the closed spread faucet, right?
Yeah, they just want they want to keep the dentals and keep that sink. They just want to replace.
Because pull that sink out, and you got to pull out all that. It's an undermount sink, which is good, and they don't want to do that. So, Ray, Steve, what do you think?
I know what I'd do.
What would you do?
I'd take a Sawzall, a carbide Sawzall blade, and put a little cut from the top, not all the way through, because you don't want to
carbide.
Yeah,
carbide.
Yeah, it just
you
cuts
mean a
the
bimetal?
Metal. Yeah, whatever.
Well, I don't think carbides.
They have them.
Carborundum?
Let me just finish.
Oh, well, you're making up blades now.
I'm not making them up.
Carbide Sawzall blade.
Don't they have them?
Not for you. Not for metal.
All right. Now, a metal blade. Whatever.
Bimetal cutting.
Bimetal cutting.
Oh, you're giving people
all right,
fucking
directions. I've done this before. So
with
then you
carbide
take.
Carbide blade.
All right. So anyway, take your Sawzall. Don't cut all the way through it.
Drop it into it,
cut it, make a little mark halfway through or so, go very slowly. Then on the bottom, crush the thing, it's out.
So you're looking at making a vertical cut on the thing.
Right. Am I right, Steve?
No, to me it looks like they've gotten the flange nut off. The first thing I would do is probably put a piece of block of wood underneath it and tap it up. And I think it would probably come right up.
But worst case scenario, that's the way.
Cutting it, bending it, and reducing its size would work.
Hold on a second.
And then you're careful not to chip the baked enamel.
You could pop a tile if you go too hard on the upswing. You know what I'm saying? It's possible.
It's possible.
What you might want to do is have your husband lean on it. Put his two hands on it and sort of lean on it so it doesn't pop on. Then when the thing pops, it'll hit him in the face. It'll be funny.
You might try putting some heat on it as well.
Ooh.
There you go.
That's right. I like that. A simple hair dryer will probably work. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's start with the hair dryer and the tap, 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 and then the up pop. Also, start with getting a blade and dragging it around. You'd be amazed what a little caulking or plumber's putty can do once it's set in place. Caulking will hold up a 400-pound mirror if it dries right and it gets a good seal all the way around. Do that. And then I'm with Ray and his potentially carbide.
Oh, Jesus. I've done it before. I've done it in your homes before because your guys can't.
Bimetal blade. But I don't think that's a carbide tip blade. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
There's ones that can cut clay pipe now, too, that are amazing. And they're real thin now, and they work well.
All right, but are they carbide? We're going to look into Sawzall. All right, looks, I want to learn.
Good.
As long as I'm right, I want to learn.
Exactly. This is fun. Yeah, Steve?
Yeah.
So you having a good time?
Oh, yeah.
All right. What's our next question?
All right, guys.
This is my friend Adam.
We got an email here from Chris in South Florida. Ace and Ray, the list is too long and the storage too short on my camera to show you the issues of living in South Florida. But let's start with this door to our master bedroom's bathroom. It's an accordion door 25 and a half inches wide. What the fuck? There's a tub on one side, never used. It's my wife's catch-all for clothing, and vanity sinks on the other. What can we do with this? I'm surprised this crap even passed code. Our thoughts were an externally mounted sliding barn door kind of thing. We have the sliding doors to the walk-in closet just to the left as well. Maybe two barn-style doors. Let me know what you guys think. We have some skills and tools. Thanks a bunch, guys.
Before you guys answer that.
What's that say? I can't see.
It's too small. You gotta make it bigger.
Carbide grit Sawzall blade.
Oh, thank you.
Carbide grit.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, for cutting metal.
Whatever.
Carbide. The word is grit, though.
Carbide blade. Carbide grit blade.
I gotta cutting say the word.
The word's douchebag.
Hold on.
It says ceramic tile, plaster.
Thank you.
Fiberglass. It's
masonry,
not
brick.
Nah, that's
steel.
No. What's it say for cutting, Gary?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
It says masonry, plaster, brick, ceramic tile, fiberglass, and other abrasive materials.
All right, that's not what we're talking about. Now put in bi-cutting metal blade.
That's going to say metal, right? You think? Yeah. Maybe that'll say metal. You cut metal with that.
That's not the right blade.
Huh.
That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
I didn't say they didn't
Amazing.
Make a carbide. I didn't say they didn't make
Amazing.
A carbide. I didn't say they didn't make a carbide. I said that's a wrong blade.
I got to go pee.
Please. Look at a number two. Last longer. What do we got here?
Some shitty blade that's going to ricochet around and not do the job.
All right. Made for what? Mm-hmm.
Made for cutting sleeves out of. Wow, Adam, look at that.
All right.
I'm not going to your house this week.
No. All right. I need you to do some work.
I know.
All right. Made for cutting sleeves. I'm looking for clarity. That's all. All right. These guys, I had one of these. Remember when I had one of these in my bedroom?
Yeah, you did. For a while. Ugh. A lot of privacy.
Ugh. Thank God I was never getting laid. So there was nothing to hear. But these accordion doors are like, they have slats of wood and they're like held together by vinyl. And the worst thing ever, there should be a class action lawsuit against anyone who came up with these things. But first things first, they don't ever really open and they don't ever really close. They're just there. They're just like, it's like if somebody took a small doorway and you just hired a person to stand in it the whole time. And every time you walk through it, you went, sorry, man, excuse me, sorry. No, holding a beer. Sorry, excuse me. Oh, sorry, did you spill that? You're cool? They don't close. They don't open. They don't stay shut. Now, they offer no privacy, especially they don't, no sound deadening or anything. It's horrible. Pocket door.
Yeah, that's your solution.
Although, that's tearing up the wall. So I'm looking.
But on the flip side of the tub, you can still do it.
I'm looking at the outside of this thing. Why can't he just swing a door? By the way, that looks like a 24-inch door, maybe 28 tops.
He said 20. It's 24 or something like that.
Did he say 24?
Yeah, he did.
He said 25 and a half inches wide.
It's a weird number for a door. Oh, I guess when you're going to put a screen on it, it doesn't matter what size you frame it.
Well, also your doorstop and everything
else. Get rid of the entire debacle here known as this thing and swing a door. Now, unfortunately, you're not going to find any doors that are 25 and a half.
Those, you know what he could do? Exist. He could get a carbide blade.
He should get a carbide blade and cut down a 28 inch door.
Get that carbide blade and cut that cultured stone out.
No. All right. I say get rid of this mess and simply swing a door that swings out from the bathroom into that room, just to the right against that other wall, right? Yes?
Yeah.
All right. Now, look. There's no 24-inch doors not going to work. 26-inch door, I don't think they make them.
He could case it out or just buy a bigger
one. A pre-hung door unit will have the jams on the side of it. And it'll be exactly the 25 and a half, and he'll press
up. No, it'll be exactly 24.
No, the door's
25 and a half.
Right,
yeah, for the rough opening.
Three-quarter with the jams on it, and it'll fit right in.
Yeah, Steve,
stop.
Fuck
Hold
him
on.
Up.
Let me crap on Steve's point for a second.
Oh, no.
All right, a couple things. First is, he said 25 and a half, but it could be less than that.
When you shim do, it.
Well, hold on.
I got to pee.
Shim it. Go pee. Let me talk to Steve. Steve knows when you do a rough opening like this, you want a half inch extra. Right now, we have zero extra. We're tight. And if this guy didn't measure right, and he's off an eighth, or the bottom is a quarter tighter, and it's at 25 and a quarter or something like that, this ain't going to work. Well, you can shave the door. But every millimeter counts in this particular case because it's so small. I'm wondering if there's a way to go as big as you possibly can go. I don't know that the pre-existing jam is going to allow you to do that. I'm kind of with Steve. Then what do you do about the casing? Just caulk it in and call it a life?
No, you're probably going to have to replace the casing. You'd have to take the casing off, and then if there is an existing trim on it, if it's not drywall, if it's wood, if you don't have enough room, you could take it off.
All right, I'm going to say this. I say you pop the casing, you pop the jam, you take the entire assembly out, and you pray to God you can get a 28-inch pre-hung, pre-swung unit in there. If you can't, you got to drop down to 24.
Exactly. We can't see behind the wall how close the tub is, and they did indicate that the tub was right there. Right. So,
yeah. Now that Ray's gone, you're with me on that carbide.
I got you.
Sawzall blade. Right? Yeah. Thanks. All right. What else? Do a spot. Do a spot while Ray's gone. It'll help us out. Maxima, baby. Yeah. MaximaStyle.com. I hope, Steve, that when people move into these Habitat for Humanity units, they're all using LED light bulbs because that is a cost saver, right?
Absolutely. We try to use the maximize the energy efficiencies of the home. Not only do we want them to be in an affordable house, we want them to be in an energy efficient that saves money. A lot of our families tell us that their monthly utility bills range between $20 and $30 for gas and electric because the house is tight, it's insulated properly, the windows are dual glazed. So, you know, we're an older house, maybe it's costing you $60, $80, $100 a month to heat. These houses are very, very efficient, and we use 95% plus high efficiency heating
smart
units.
Smart, just like Maxima Style. MaximaStyle.com, LED bulbs, man. They save you energy. They save you money. You can replace a 50-watt standard bulb with a Maxima Style bulb. 8 watts. 8 watts you replace the 50-watter with. Save a whole bunch of kilowatts. That's right. Energy. And the energy it takes to replace some of these bulbs, like some of these outdoor bulbs, climb up that ladder, fall off that ladder, break a hip, you're out of work, farmers foreclosed on. You want that to happen? No. No, that's why you go to MaximaStyle.com for the best selection. I think we just got in a whole bunch of, new bulbs. All the studios, house, everything we do with MaximaStyle.com. You're going to go to LED. Let's just do it now, not be stupid. Why wait another 2 years, do it, cost you a bunch of money. Anyway, you go to maximastyle.com, use the coupon code ADAM for additional savings. All right, phone calls.
I'm back.
Oh, Ray's back. The tip.
All
Ray's giving
right.
out a tip.
All right.
Gentlemen,
Steve Adam,
grab your hardwood.
Funny.
It's time for Just the Tip.
Just the Tip.
By the way, where should people go if they want to? HabitatLA.org is the website. If they want to come out and get some good karma going and maybe learn a little something about building on November 6th or the 9th, Linwood, California. HabitatLA.org.
Absolutely.
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 All right.
I'm going to show up and go out there.
Ray will never be there. Go ahead.
I'm going to try and squat. I'm going to squat on one of the houses.
I'll be there. I'm going to sell Mangria.
Are you?
Yeah.
That's good.
Get those guys lubed up.
Anyway, just a tip. You know, basin wrench. Mm-hmm. Basin wrench to tighten the nut up on your sink because it's no access, that weird wrench with the pivot.
Yeah, we're just talking about it. It's a weird, with the weird 90-degree thing and a little T-handle.
Right, and it's got a pivot on it. Exactly.
You can't. When you're working underneath the sink, you can't get up there all the time with a crescent wrench or a monkey wrench or something like that.
So dual use for your basin wrench. Now, sometimes you're in a cabinet or something and it's no access.
Mm-hmm.
So you take your pipe wrench, you lock off the nut on one side, take your basin wrench to unscrew something.
Mm-hmm.
See? Mm-hmm. Works out well. So you got the extension for it, and then you got a crescent wrench at the end, and you can twist from far away and get more leveraged. Just say yes. It's
on
a good tip.
The crescent wrench.
Well, because the basin wrench is usually square, and then, you said, it has that little...
handle.
Right, the handle on it, which doesn't allow you for too much torque.
One of the biggest arguments I ever got into when I was doing terrestrial radio is I was explaining the crescent wrench was a brand name, you know, like Kleenex, but it's really called an adjustable wrench.
And the guy's adjustable.
You're wrong, wrong, wrong. And he was so adamant about it, and fucking infuriated me.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I am. It's called an adjustable
wrench. Who was
wrench.
That, Ty Pennington? Arguing with you?
He doesn't know what a crescent wrench or an adjustable wrench is. He just takes his shirt off, takes a couple pictures with Jimmy Carter, and then gets back in the Maserati and goes,
why can't I get that gig?
All right, Ray, I need a little more on that.
That's all I got.
That's not home. I need
All right, here's another one. Let's say if you have...
Let me just say something. Matt Fondelier.
Yes, sir.
You're
he
worthless.
Doesn't know what anything is.
I know. That's the point.
I think that's why he's bringing me into this.
He's utterly worthless.
Okay.
In olden days, he would have been killed. They just would have killed him.
I'm actually surprised my ancestors lived long enough to have me.
Well, I'm imagining
me
they
too.
Did something. Maybe sexual favors for the guards or something. But either way, they
eunuchs.
Served them. Back in the, but now, if you were back in the day, they would have just taken out the center square and they just would have killed you. Because they back then, it was all just about pro and con. Like, well, he's a nice enough guy. Yeah, but he eats and shits a lot. And he doesn't really – he can't fix
too
a wagon
to maintain.
Wheel. Let's just get rid of him.
Leave him here.
No, this is just history.
Mount Ararat.
This is not meant to be insulting. This is really just history.
No, I get it.
You know, I'm just saying maybe 800 years ago, they just would have killed you. It's checks and balances. Back then, they had to survive. There's only so much in the harvest.
Let's sacrifice him after the show.
No, we're fine now. Now we have cheap, plentiful food sources. But back then, they had to go through winters and things. You know what I mean? They just didn't need you putzing around not being able to fix anything. So they would have killed you. So what? Now that's Matt.
So now Matt's that you're dead.
No, no. What I'm saying is Matt doesn't know anything.
Right. And this
your,
shall continue.
Tips on scaffolding and extendo wrenches are not helping.
Jesus Christ.
I'm talking about...
All right, well, let's say if you want to scribe something, right?
Uh-oh.
Tape scribe.
He doesn't know what scribe
is. He doesn't know what scribe is either. Yeah, it's like describing. Fuck it. Just wrap it up, Matt.
What kind of quill would this scribe use? All right.
Rare earth magnet?
I want to hear about the scribe.
Nah, I'm not into it now.
I got to tell you something.
We have Steve here. Let's
give some building. Can I say this? I'll give a tip.
Go ahead.
All right. I was putting on some scribe molding the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, scribe molding... It's like when you do cabinetry and you got the face frame and it's against the wall and you got that 3/16 to zero.
Yeah, you got a gap.
In. You got a gap. And you want to do it with a little scribe molding. Well, the problem with scribing the scribe molding when you're cutting it on the table saw is you may be going from 1/4 inch to zero, but running it through the table saw at 1/4 inch to zero is not only dangerous, but you're freehanding the thing. this is something I used to know, but I forgot about it. What the contractor was doing is he set his table saw for 3 inches. He had his 3-inch piece of wood that he'd already ripped through there, and then he took the little piece of scribe and he tacked it on at the correct angle.
Right.
Steve's nodding his head. I remember that from my past, but I went, oh, yeah.
That works out.
You would do it. There you go.
And then you're not in danger of cutting your fingers off.
That's right.
A la Gary.
A little just the tip for the Ace Man there. Here we go.
Thanks for the tip.
All right, hold on. Wait. Let's ask Matt if he knew anything what you spoke of. Matt, how'd that go for you?
That made perfect sense.
Matt, I hope you took the "you would be killed 800 years ago" spirit in which it was intended.
How did it make perfect? Matt, how did it make perfect sense?
Ray, I'm doing so much back here. We just please move on.
Let the man do his job, please, Ray. All right, let's see some phone calls here. Steve, see anything you like there? Replacing the old oil-fired boiler. We don't know about too much of that.
Yeah, but Steve does. He's from New Jersey.
Yeah, but he moved out of there. He came here to dance. As a young man with a dream and some capizios, and you know, ended up on a construction site. He never looked back.
Peori pants. Wow.
I know. No shoes. So he bought a new farm. Mm-hmm. They wants to know.
Yes.
I wonder. That's got to be confusing. Like, how's Gerald doing? You didn't hear? He bought the farm. Oh, Jesus, that's horrible.
Congratulations.
What? No.
No, he bought a farm.
No. Remember the new motorcycle? Oh, he's got a motorcycle and a farm? No. He bought the farm with the motorcycle.
With the motorcycle?
Yes.
That's pretty good.
Congratulations. All right.
Hit a tractor. Got a tractor, too?
All right, too far now, right? Where were we?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Boiler. I'm going to line.
Let Steve pick.
All right, Steve, what do you like?
Either 3 or 5.
All right, let's go 5. Tanner.
Hey, man, what's up?
You bought the farm, man.
Yeah, got the motorcycle, too, actually.
Nice.
See?
All right. What's going on?
Got a tractor?
Yes,
bought
I do.
A farm comes with a
and
tractor.
And you got a tractor.
What's going on?
So I just bought this place. I live down in Visalia, but I'm planning on moving up to the Fresno area. And it's got an old 70s house. It's been vacant for 12 years and pretty much been ransacked. Everything's been fucking stolen.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to knock it down and want to knock the shop down behind it and rebuild a new house and a new shop. Wanted to know if I should go up there and start doing it and ask for forgiveness later, or maybe go and take the right steps.
You doing a little kitchen remod and putting the dumpster, you know, around the side of the house or something is one thing. You going ground up, that's another in
you're
the permit department.
It.
Especially when you then go to sell the farm at some point and you don't have any permits or documentation,
a 3,000 square foot house and on the deed it says 700.
Right.
That won't be fun.
Tanner, as much as I hate the man, you're going ground up. You should go ahead and pull a permit. Also, you don't know what you're doing. And when you don't know what you're doing, you probably should get a permit because there's a lot of stuff that does make sense that's in that, you know, under the heading of permits. You don't know if you get some unscrupulous electrician in there and you're living in a fire trap, plumbing, that kind of stuff. You know, the code's 90, 80,
75.
Somewhere in the mid-60s, number of codes are there for a reason. And you should follow them.
It's more like 1,500.
Well, 1,500 codes, but yeah. The percentage of them that actually makes sense.
Right.
You know, hey,
Tanner, are you gonna grow almonds up there?
Actually, it's a vineyard, but I farm almonds for another company out here along I-5.
Mm-hmm. What do you farm?
Almonds.
Almonds?
Almonds and grapes.
Oh, really?
Almonds right. Big up in Fresno. Like 80% you guys supply the world with, right?
Pretty much. Largest commodity in the valley.
Yeah, that'll get you laid. Guess we're
get you almonds in
almost
your ass.
80% of the almonds. All right, bud.
Check it out, honey.
All right, Tanner. We say pull a permit.
Build the shop already. First, though, so you can live in the shop and do your thing and work.
No, because then the inspector's going to come by. He's going to go, what's up with this?
Well, I know, but you should pull the permit on the shop and then take the time and do the house right, you know? Slab on grade for the shop, tilt up. You know, like we did for your garage when you bought that kit.
Yeah, listen.
We attached it.
Do the shop. You can do a lot of those prefab places now. Stuff made out of steel, you know. Just pour that slab, tilt it up. Man, just it takes almost nothing.
What did
to
we
put together
you and I did it, and who else? Somebody else helped me because I needed strength.
I don't remember, but I built a little steel garage wood shop area.
Extension.
And it was nothing. I mean, that. It's the way to go. If, you know, I mean, obviously, aesthetically, it's not, you know, insanely beautiful. I like listening to those commercials where they're like, you can get a 400,000 square foot warehouse for $700. And then, but they keep going and they go, churches too. And I thought, how depressing is that? You got a corrugated steel roof. You're sitting there looking at a bunch of primer tube, you know, you're looking at a
steel truss.
Yeah.
Exposed. Hell?
Yeah, bar truss up there, all painted that weird orange primer color. That's got to, you know, in terms of worshiping.
Wow.
Well, listen, the people who built those cathedrals in Europe would show up and look at that shit and never stop vomiting, right?
I went to Salisbury Cathedral in England, and it was amazing. Yeah. Absolutely amazing.
They did a lot of good masonry work back then. All right.
And then you know what? Graffiti that's over 500 years old.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Bizarre. Like, what hooligan decided, like, carving a stone? And it's graffiti.
Yeah, but you had to really carve graffiti back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Rick?
Yeah.
27,
Adam,
Denver.
Hi, Steve.
What's going
What's
on,
happening?
How's it going?
Good.
So I have a townhome, and I'm trying to put some of that pet turf stuff you can get at Home Depot or whatever on the balcony. And it's meant to be... to be installed in the ground, and they say, you know, dig it up and put rocks and sand and stuff. So I'm wondering how you would do that on top of, like, pressure-treated, you know, deck wood. Do you take it off and replace it? Do you do something else? Do you build up? Do you build down? Or how that would work?
I haven't used that, but I'm curious with Steve, you know, the lawn.
Mm-hmm. Synthetic lawn stuff?
Front and back. Use the sprinklers. I hate sprinklers. They end up spraying all over the side of the house and warping and rotting everything. It spills through the roof. They get out of adjustment. They bust off in the middle of the night and spray these geysers while you're sleeping. There's this stupid thing, you know, in L.A. County, they go, hey, man, have your sprinklers go off at dawn. It saves money because the sun's not shining. And all right, don't send them off at noon. But I told my gardener, you know when I want my sprinklers to go off? When your ass is here. Because you having it go off at dawn just means everyone is sleeping while the busted off one shoots it out into the gutter. And that goes on for a year because there's nobody...
monitoring.
Nobody's awake. Going off at 4 a.m. is fine, but you can't see it just spraying the side of the car the whole time and not hitting the lawn. They're always out of adjustment. They suck. No one's improved them. By the way... you want to know the one thing that has not improved in 70 years? The sprinkler. They don't work for shit. The old galvanized ones work better. They just don't work.
The Rainbird head.
I like the synthesized stuff now. It looks good. Back in the day, it looked like crap. Now it looks pretty good.
Looks decent, yeah.
What would you say to that, Steve?
We use it on several of our homes, Adam. And obviously, it's a great savings on the water and on the maintenance. There's no maintenance on it. And if it is an area where we don't put the turf, we'll go with a drought-tolerant landscape and drip irrigation on California native drought-tolerant plants.
Smart.
Yeah. So, yes. Again, you know, we're looking at the overall affordability for the family that's in the house.
So, Rick, as far as prepping your deck for this stuff, I don't think you're going to be able to prep.
But does he want it for you want it for your animal, right? Why do you want to do it?
So
he's going to pee and poop on the thing anyway, right?
Well, yeah, but it's a back balcony. You can spray with a hose and it'll drain.
Then just glue it down. Glue it down and spray it down with a hose. I just glue it down, like at the corners or around the perimeter.
Real wood, though?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just
won't rot the wood.
No. I mean, well, look, it's pressure treated wood anyway, right?
Yeah.
You know that you can see the little pressure marks in it, the little slits in it.
Yes.
Okay. So it's fine. You can use some, I don't know, PL-400 or some.
All right, I'd even get double stick tape and do it that way, just so it's not permanent.
All right. I agree with Ray. Well,
and then hose it down when it starts smelling like urine after a couple of days. That would be really fun.
You know what I might do?
Yeah.
You know what I might do? I'd use the double stick tape, and I'd put a nice dab of painter's caulk in each corner or whatever, too. Just to, you'll be able to rip it off.
Yeah, you'll be able to take it off. Yeah, you don't want to use. You don't want to take a notch trowel and use like Bostick's Best, and then rip your whole balcony off with it.
Right, like mastic or something like that. But do a few corners, do a couple parts in the middle. Let it use the double stick tape. Let it adhere, dry overnight.
Is there a balcony downstairs from you?
This is the downstairs balcony.
Oh, okay.
There you go, Ray.
And there's a rooftop.
All right, good. So you're not going to be spraying it off down into somebody else's apartment.
So you're basically just going to measure it out and cut it and lay it out, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're done already.
Good for you, Rick.
Hey, appreciate it, guys.
What's your pet's name?
What's that?
What's your pet's name?
Draper.
All right.
I like that.
Change it to Lucky. That's a lucky dog. Got a very good owner.
Draper.
All right. Tay, you want to be lucky? Bridgeview Bank Mortgage Company. Oh, man. It's the transitions. That's why I get the big bucks. Tony and Paul have been over there. They've been running this company, Pros, with over 10 years' experience. They've closed over 5,000 residential mortgage loans. Oh, yeah. They'll get you into a house. Rates are still historically low. Let them help you. You can refinance. They'll do refinance. You can do purchase loans. Conventional FHA jumbo loans. Oh, I like those jumbo loans.
Woohoo!
That's me. Jumbo. Non-conforming loans. They'll do everything. Primary residence, second homes. Well, you don't have to worry about that, right?
Huh?
You don't have a primary place. And investment properties, cash out, refinance, home improvements. They're there for you. You want to get a deal? I'll tell you what you do. Click the banner at aceontheroof.com. Submit the no-risk application. It's a free no-risk application. Be sure to select Ace on the Roof on the drop-down menu. And if they can help you, they'll help you. If not, no risk, no harm, no foul. Matt?
All loans subject to credit approval. Rates and fees subject to change. Not all loans or products are available in all states. Call 888-524-3452 for details about credit costs and terms. Bridgeview Bank Mortgage, NMLS number 335048, Equal Housing Lender.
All right.
Scribe molding.
Let's get Ray a house, everybody. Visit aceontheroof.com, click the PayPal button, and subscribe. $5 a month. That sounds pretty reasonable for all the priceless
the wealth of knowledge
we're dispensing. You know, save the carbide tip. Sawzall blade.
Something
BS.
You learned something.
I didn't learn
today.
Anything.
Yeah, you did.
I said that's the wrong blade.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Steve, you're with me, right?
No, he's not.
I'm neutral.
You know
how's
what I'm
that
saying.
Going?
It's the wrong blade for that. Where were we? Ah, Hollywood, Habitat for Humanity, Build-A-Thon, November 6th through the 9th in Linwood, California. If you're anywhere around, it really does feel good to get in there. People don't realize just how good it feels to volunteer, to get in, to work up a little sweat, and also to be around other people that are like-minded. You know what I mean? You're not walking into a biker bar and volunteering. You're coming to a place where people are come together, and it's all for a common cause, and it's a good cause. And again, I don't know if people bring their kids with them, but you should bring your kids. I mean, obviously, don't bring a three-year-old that's going to fall off the roof. But, I mean, if you got a kid and that kid can jump in, I don't know what the rules are, Steve, but I think you should want your kids seeing Daddy and Mommy giving a little something back to the community.
It's great, absolutely. And we often obviously have insurance regulations that anyone under 16 we can't have on a build site. But often if we have an event that we do encourage to bring the children, we'll create youth activity. And, you know, we want to get those teenagers. We want to give them a hammer and a screwdriver and teach them to build something. We maybe have some knockdown furniture or some things that they can put together. And then for the younger ones, if it's painting or something. But we definitely want to get them involved however and whenever we can.
Let me translate that, Steve, to Junior. Hey, Junior, how about you put a coat of carnauba on the dually? Learn some life skills.
Get out of the sandbox now.
Yeah, learn some life skills. Hey, man.
Wax on, wax off.
That's right, man. It's getting dull. Didn't blink at me last time I walked by. Website habitatla.org is where you go, and you can follow them on Twitter at habitatla. Steve, thank you so
can
much.
Oh, something?
You got something?
Yeah. I'd just like to say that this Build-A-Thon is our biggest fundraising event of the year, as opposed to a black tie gala or anything like that. We do a Build-A-Thon. We encourage people to come out. And we do have spots open for this Build-A-Thon, and that's available at www.regonline.com, HBAT 2013. So if anyone does want to register and come on out, and hopefully you, Adam and Ray, will be out there, and some of your fans can come out and see
building.
You.
We just hoping.
We'll teach you on the spot.
I can. Do you guys – you have beer?
No beer.
I'm
no
in.
Beer.
Carbide, oh. Tip, no beer. Sawzall blades.
You got any? I can no cut beer. Some pipe.
All right. So, again, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for telling a friend. Thank you so much for going through the PayPal and putting a little wind in the sail of the pirate ship. And until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Steve.
Twitter for me.
Twitter for Ray. Steve Trino. Thank you. Ray Oldhoffer, Adam Carolla, Matt the Porcelain, Punisher, Fondelier, and Gary Hefter saying mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.